And you know what, Lindsay, before we get to those matchups, I want to go to a tweet that you commented on, and I totally agree with you. With the Houston Texans and Coach Tully, and they're like, you're fired. And I'm with you, and I think your comment was like, what was he supposed to do? I think the fact that guy got four wins puts him in Coach of the Year candidate with that roster, right?
100%. I think, like, we were talking about them, like, they had a non-NFL caliber roster at the beginning of the year. I mean, it was a clear cut, like, they are 100% going to get the first draft pick. They're maybe not going to win any games. It was hard to find talent. You're like, oh, Brandon Cooks, good luck there. And then all of a sudden, they win four games, which I know that's not, you know, any crazy number, but considering the circumstances, I think it's relatively impressive. It's more than we expected. I think Davis Mills put them in a position where who knows what they'll do because they're the Texans. But I feel like he played well enough. Like, nobody's like, oh, he's our franchise quarterback. But in an offseason where I don't think there are going to be a whole lot of quarterback options out there for all of these teams that are looking to upgrade, not the best draft class at that position. There aren't a bunch of, like, you know, outside of the Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, and who knows what they're going to do. Where are all these quarterbacks coming from that everybody's looking to replace their quarterbacks with? So I kind of think that the Texans, Davis Mills played himself into a position where maybe you keep him for at least another year. You know, he's your guy, and then you fill out the roster around him. That's a good thing, you know? And the defense started off as like the worst defense in the NFL and got to about like the midway point of the NFL. They weren't even close to the worst defense in the NFL. They were playing really hard for him. So I know that this is a guy that's the least recognizable coach in the National Football League, but what do you want from him? So I didn't understand that at all. My guess is that they have a guy that they have their eye on. I'm not sure that I will agree that it's much of an upgrade because I haven't agreed with much of anything that the Texans have done for the last few years. So I don't know how optimistic I am. That one baffled me though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Lindsay. I think Davis Mills, like you said, was really good. I mean, heck, they won four games the year before and won four games again with you would imagine, a less talented roster. And the year before, they had Deshaun Watson playing the whole year, right? So I think that they won the same amount of games, I think, is wildly impressive. It does lead me to ask you, though, I wonder, with all of the coaching vacancies out there, there are quite a number now, and as there usually are on Black Monday and Tuesday usually as well, what do you think is the most attractive head coaching spot right now? Is it, let's say, New York? Is it Jacksonville, Chicago maybe? Where would you land on the most attractive spot?
You know, I think it depends on how the coach feels about the various quarterbacks that are out there. You can obviously look at Jacksonville and the fact that they have Trevor Lawrence. If you think that Trevor Lawrence was stunted this year by the coaching situation and all of the circumstances around him, which I think is a fair thing to at least give him the benefit of the doubt there. So if a football person that watches a lot of tape and X's knows they see something there that they can work with and they like Trevor Lawrence's upside for the future, then I think that that's an attractive option there, especially considering they have the number one pick again. But I know that this doesn't really make much sense. I kind of feel like the Giants are in some way an attractive thing. And part of the reason is it is counterintuitive. Part of my rationale is that they have nothing. And it's like a clean slate. So whatever coach, like whatever they want to build there with a new general manager, get on the same page, come in at the same time, you have an ownership group that is, you know, according to everybody that's been around the team, like a great ownership group, right? The Tishes and the Maras want to win. They want to give you resources. It hasn't gone well in the last, you know, decade or so. But people speak highly of them. They want to work with them. They want to work for them. I feel like you could go into the New York market in a winnable division, right? Because that's another thing. Like, the Raiders look really good right now, and you have Derek Carr. But that division's crazy. You're going to deal with Herbert for the next, what, decade plus? You've got Mahomes in there, too. I don't know. That feels really tough. So there's something about the Giants that feels attractive to me for a specific coaching candidate that wants to come in and put, like we're all talking about Harbaugh, right? Well, Harbaugh has really specific, like he wants to be in control. So if he wants to come in and say, like, here's how I want to build this team, he has a lot of room to do that right now. And I think that there's probably something that's appealing about that to a lot of people.
Well, Lindsay, for the Giants job, I have to say one of the funnier comments was owner John Mara saying, just when I thought we hit rock bottom, we hit rock bottom the following week.
Oh, my gosh. The last few weeks of the season were awful.
Isn't that, I'm like, oh, poor Joe Judge. Like, I don't know if Joe Judge is a good NFL coach or not. There was certainly a lot of wrinkles in New York where, heck, could anybody succeed? But it seems like they are in a rut. You had Pat Shurmur before, Joe Judge in. Like, they're in. Listen, Lindsay, I'm a Browns fan. I know when the string, you get in the run of bad coaches. It's tough sometimes to get off of that carousel. So I wonder what in New York they're going to be able to do to try to solidify that situation. Because let's remember, too, like, Daniel Jones at the time by Gettleman was a pretty controversial pick for as high as he was taken at a quarterback. And if that's not your cup of tea, like you mentioned earlier, you don't – there's a lot of teams that want upgrades on quarterbacks and not a lot going around. So I wonder how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I don't see them moving from Daniel Jones this year. And I totally understand the argument for, like, people who have watched the team and they say he's just not the guy. I get it. I totally get it. That said, we haven't seen him for half of the season, right?
Yep.
So we've seen the drop-off from even Daniel Jones to the backup situation there. It has not been good the last few weeks. So what I would say is, because I don't think there's a lot of opportunity to upgrade this year. Look, if Russell Wilson becomes available and he wants to move to New York because Sierra likes the job opportunities, like, then it's a totally different set of circumstances. Now we're having a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But if a big name like that doesn't want to go to New York and that doesn't become an option, barring, like, you know, the earth-shattering move that they make, then I think Daniel Jones is a good enough option. If you put people around him, they don't have any wide receivers that have made any plays this year. I mean, they went and got Galladay. They thought that was a good move. I didn't think it was a bad move, but it hasn't worked out. So, and none of those wide receivers have been able to stay healthy. There's a whole bunch of things that have hamstrung that offense this year that are kind of weird, quirky situations. But I think Saquon Barkley's done. I don't see it at all.
Lindsay.
Like, when you're splitting time with Devontae Booker at the end of the year and there's just no burst, like, when his highlights are like, there was a play a few weeks ago where he kind of grabbed a pass that was behind him with one hand and swung it around and it was super flashy, but, like, it was his hands that were making the play. We haven't seen the burst from his legs, which is why he's there. I don't think it's there anymore. I think all the injuries have caught up with him. So I would argue that that's actually the draft pick that has hurt them, just because of running back value and then the fact that he got hurt and dropped off as quickly as he did, and he didn't even get his full rookie deal. But I think Daniel Jones is good enough. And then the thing is, too, that he's that guy that he can get it done with his legs. So let's say you even bring in a coach that is a little bit more like, hey, maybe I might want to go in a direction where take, like, a dual threat quarterback, you know, next year in the draft or whatever. Then Daniel kind of gives you a little bit of that to work with in this year so that you can build for that offense without going fully in on that offense. Do you know what I mean? So I think Daniel is good enough for one more year. Let him, you know, try out another season, not because you want him, not because you think he's the answer, but because there isn't a better option available and you need to use your resources to build everything else.
Yeah, try to put something around him, see if the legs can carry you under a new system. Totally agree.
Yep.
In conversation with Lindsay Rhodes, host of the NFL Rhodes Show podcast, and on Twitter at Lindsay_Rhodes. Okay, Lindsay, let's get to these playoff games here. Super wild card weekend. And you have out now your podcast. I think you tweeted out about 4 hours ago on Apple and Spotify, the road show on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And really, they're trying to play that super duper underdog card with the Chiefs. They're in Arrowhead. No one expects them to win. Ben Roethlisberger, he's done. It's over. I personally think they're going to lose and probably by a couple touchdowns. But are you buying this underdog story at all? Is there a chance for Pittsburgh?
So I don't totally see it. And I want to say, so where I think the Steelers could have a chance is if Patrick Mahomes has one of those games where his turnover-worthy plays actually turn into turnovers. I think it's just as simple as that. Like, if a Joe Hayden or something like that goes out and snags one, or TJ Watt puts, you know, a hand in his face too frequently and forces a throw that Patrick Mahomes wouldn't like to make otherwise, but, you know, he will make anyway because he's Patrick Mahomes. So I think their chances are completely reliant on turnovers and just stealing a couple of extra possessions, because I think it's obvious that Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have it anymore. I don't know how you can't defend that. Like, he threw the ball, how many times? It was like 44 times for like 240 yards last time. I mean, how are you throwing the ball that frequently for that little yardage? You know, he's at the bottom of the league when it comes to ADOT, average depth of target. He just doesn't have it anymore. You saw that passing chart probably on Twitter with the dots of like where all of his throws went in that game. They're all at the line of scrimmage. It's crazy. So the Chiefs defense is pretty good. You know, like, I know the narrative has been for the last few years that they're what's holding them back. It's kind of been the opposite this year. The offense has been a bit of a roller coaster, and the defense is actually pretty darn good. So I don't think that they're going to have any trouble with the Steelers' offense. I think it will just come down to whether or not Patrick Mahomes and that offense is clicking. And, or, you know, if they have an off day, then the Steelers will have a chance. Otherwise, I just don't see it.
Lindsay, I want to ask you about a team that I've had trouble, I feel like, forecasting basically all season, which is the San Francisco 49ers. And they're traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. And Cowboys, obviously, 12-5. They won their division. Wasn't particularly close. I think a lot of people feel that Dallas is good enough to go anywhere in the playoffs, from flaming out in the first round to winning the Super Bowl. But the 49ers are just such a hard team to figure out. Do you think that... Or maybe what do you think of the 49ers this weekend? Because I saw something on Twitter where people were kind of examining the different statistics, and it was something like the Dallas defense, as good as it is, struggles the most against teams that use running backs in motion, and there's no team in the NFL playoffs that use the running backs in motion than Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. Where are you at on the 49ers and their chance for an upset in Dallas on Sunday night?
That is the game that I'm having the hardest time predicting a winner for. I have no idea. I could see it going either direction, and I would be like, yeah, that makes sense to me. And part of the reason for that, though, is it's less that I have a hard time forecasting what the Niners are going to do, and more that I have no idea what the Cowboys are going to show up and do. Because I think we all look at the Cowboys and we think that they have so many weapons and that it just makes sense. And that's why we all think they could beat anybody on any given weekend. They could go on a run. They could win the Super Bowl. They have the talent to do that. But we don't see it from them consistently. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to come out this week and play against a good team the way that we expect them to. You know, we've talked about Dak and his slump this year. Well, the two games where, you know, we kind of looked at him and we were like, whoa, he's out of it. He looks great. It was against Washington in week 16. And then it was against Philly's backups in week 18. And those were the two games where you're like, okay, Dallas looks outstanding. This is good. They're back. So outside of that, those are, you know, backups and a bad team. So are we super confident that Dak Prescott, I mean, okay, so looking, I'm preparing for a fantasy radio show that I'm going to do at the top of the hour for Sirius. And so I have Dak's fantasy numbers up, which I know don't tell the whole story, but obviously kind of tells some of it, right? So against New Orleans in week 13, Dak put up 11 fantasy points. In week 15, he put up 10. Then in 16 against Washington, he had 31. And then against Arizona, it was 23. That's good. 31 against – but, like, he has that potential to have a very low floor. He put up 2 points in week 11 against Kansas City. This is a roller coaster, and his floor is low. So if he comes out and it's just off for whatever reason, and we haven't seen it be consistently on against good teams in the second half of the year – so I don't know what to expect from Dallas, and that's what's confusing me the most. The Niners were really physical with the Rams last week, and Elijah Mitchell is, like, you know, once they settled on him and he's the guy and they're creating offense for him and plays for him, and the way they use Debo, who's consistently been amazing all year long, Kittle is a little bit of like a, I don't know if it's going to be a Kittle game or not a Kittle game. It's been like boom or bust for him, but I think they have a lot of weapons, and, you know, Dallas's defense makes up like Trayvon Diggs. We've celebrated him all year long because he makes those flashy plays, but he has like one of the highest passer ratings against, you know, like, so people can complete passes on him. he's just that guy who will maybe make a play here and there that is a really big play, but you can throw on him. So I don't really know. I think I like San Francisco. I mean, I know I like their chances. I'm not yet at a point where I feel like I know what I'm picking in that one. And I definitely wouldn't bet it because I just feel like anything could happen.
I'm totally with you. Listen, Vegas knows, right? That's why the spread is so close. Vegas knows.
Yep.
And I wonder too, with Jimmy Garoppolo, who was technically taken off of the injury report for the 49ers, but we know that thumb isn't perfect, but we also know the creativity, of Kyle Shanahan, who he could run, he could throw. We've seen them get to a Super Bowl throwing the ball like under 10 times, multiple times. So Jimmy G, I think, Lindsay, if you keep this game close, the idea for him is just don't screw it up. Like, don't throw a bad ball to get picked off, right?
Well, I mean, look, they beat the Rams last week in a close game where he threw two interceptions, but he was really efficient outside of that. He was 23 for 32 for 316 yards. So they put the ball in his hands. It's not like they're hiding him anymore. You know, the narrative used to be that, like, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, let him throw 15 times and just run it, you know? That's not the case. And I know that the fact that they're putting Debo in the backfield and using him more as a running back than they are as a receiver, that even helps that narrative. But, like, he threw the ball 32 times. And it was a close game against a very good team that we know has the weaponry to win a Super Bowl. So I agree with you. I think Kyle Shanahan's a really good coach. I think he buys people time with the offense and the play calls, and I think that they'll have a really smart plan. So I think that game will be close at the very least. I don't think they're going to get blown out.
No, I agree. In conversation with Lindsay Rhodes, host of the NFL Roadshow, a podcast on Twitter at Lindsay_Rhodes. And let's get into that Monday night one. First time we're having a Monday playoff game to finish off Wild Card Weekend. And Lindsay, I don't know about you, but I just feel these two division rivals playing each other, it felt like at the end of that season, that last month, was that not so much that anybody won it, it's that the Rams lost it less than the Cardinals. Like, I don't know. The way those two teams went into the playoffs, I feel no matter who comes out of this game, I don't see them going any further. Both teams are trending in the wrong direction to me.
You think so? I feel like the Cardinals are trending in the wrong direction. I feel like the fact that they lost D-Hop is a little bit scary. The fact that they won't have James Conner for this game, you know, is Chase Edmonds healthy? They kept him out last week. I think, to me, that was the biggest question going into this game was, like, I'm keeping an eye on the backfield for the Cardinals because I think that they need to have Chase now. They just need to have him, and they need to have him be somewhat healthy and effective because otherwise you look at their roster and, you know, Kyler can make some plays, but you're like, hey, Zach Ertz and Christian Kirk, go get her done, you know? And I just think that that's going to be really, really tough against this Los Angeles defense. I mean, Aaron Donald is like the best defensive player maybe ever, you know, like I think we're going to have him in that conversation at some point in time. And Jalen Ramsey on the back end. And remember last time they played, they didn't have Jalen Ramsey. He was out in that primetime game because it was a COVID situation. So no Jalen Ramsey, and Arizona threw all over LA. They threw for like 300 something yards. Whereas in the first meeting, they ran for 200 plus against LA. So it's hard to predict just because you look at it and say Arizona attacked this team two totally different ways in the two games that they played them this year. So how will they come out this time? My guess is, because we will have Jalen Ramsey back there, is that they're going to try to run it if Chase Edmonds is healthy enough to do it. And then it will just be a question of whether or not they can. Because you don't have the defense having to account for D-Hop anymore. I think it changes a lot.
Before we let you go, I do gotta get your opinion real quick on our pseudo home team, which are the Bills here up in Toronto.
Not mine, show.
Mm-hmm. Not yours. Yes, I know, Andy. You're the
not
Browns,
yours.
But but for a majority of our listeners, I'll put it that way. The Bills certainly tomorrow against the Patriots at Orchard Park, prime time on Saturday night. I know a lot of people are kind of bandying about Bill Belichick has the mystique going. He's gonna pull something out of a rabbit out of the hat. The Patriots are banged up. Josh Allen arguably is the best quarterback in the playoffs right now. At worst, you know, the second best, maybe. I find it hard to not take the Bills in this one. I wonder where you're leaning.
Yeah, I'm leaning Bills. You know, you can't write off the Patriots, obviously. I think that it'll be close, and I think that it will probably be low scoring. The fact that it's going to be so cold, a little windy, not as windy as that weird first meeting of the year. But I think Josh Allen is the best player on the field. And as we saw in the second meeting, they had a hard time containing him. So if Josh Allen is on and Josh Allen, you know, plays one of his best games like he did in that one, then I think that the Bills should win this one. And I think, you know, they're going to be pretty tough to stop moving forward too. It's like Devin Singletary too, the fact that they have isolated him as the guy that they're going to go to. For so much of the season, they weren't even using the running backs. And when they were struggling in the mid to late part of the season, I think that was a big part of the reason why. And then Josh got kind of banged up, so they couldn't rely on his legs. I think that was the best thing that ever happened to them, because it forced them to pick a running back, go to that running back, and continue going to that running back even when they were tempted to go to Josh Allen. And I think establishing the run with Devin Singletary and the way that they use him in the passing game, I think it's changed things for them down the stretch. Also, they have a healthy offensive line, right? And that's one of those underrated things that people don't talk about, but they haven't had that offensive line all season long. So now that they're back, this is a team that is healthy going into this game. I think they are the better team. I think Belichick is, you know, he's the wild card in this matchup. Can you take away Josh Allen completely? I don't know. But what a great, I mean, two of the best defenses in the NFL. This is the first time in the wild card round that we've had the number one and number two scoring defenses play one another. So I know that that's not exciting, because we all want to see offense, but I think it'll be low scoring, and I think it'll all come down to whether or not the Patriots can limit Josh Allen, and or whether or not Josh Allen doesn't get in his own way and shoot himself in the foot.